So please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, and reading verse 6. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, and reading verse 6. These, of course, are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And our subject this morning is thirsting after righteousness. This is a tremendous verse of the New Testament, one of the Beatitudes, part of the Sermon on the Mount, that great sermon delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What a wonderful thing to have the Word of God, to have a published sermon from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the eternal Son of God, who is divine. We have his words preserved for us here in Holy Scripture, and what a tremendous comfort they are for us. What tremendous instruction they contain for us. And these things, well, this verse is a prime example of this. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, these verses at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, they are known as the Beatitudes, blessings declared by the Lord Jesus Christ upon those who seek after God. And he goes on in his Sermon on the Mount. We're not going to go through the sermon, but Matthew chapters 5, 6 and 7. Well, if you read these things, you will see that there are so many other blessings pronounced, so many warnings as well also, not just blessings for those who seek after God, but warnings to hypocrites, to those who profess faith outwardly, and yet inwardly they do not truly know the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks very severely about those Pharisees and scribes who were making long prayers and who were fasting and making a big show out of it. And he was saying to his people, don't be like them, walking around in your long robes. You have to be honest. You have to be sincere, truly saved, truly loving the Lord. And he teaches us how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is in the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm sure many of you know these things. And then right at the very end of his sermon, well, he gives two illustrations. He gives an illustration about a man who built his house upon the sand and a man who built his house upon a rock. And he says, well, when the rain descended, when the floods came, when the winds blew and beat upon that house that was built on the sand, well, it fell, and great was the fall of it. But the one that was built on the rock, that stood the test. And well, when we read those things, we know that that rock that he is talking about is himself. Christ is our rock. We build our house, our lives, upon that foundation, upon Christ Jesus. He is our rock. That's the Sermon on the Mount. But as I have said, our focus is on verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, let's think about this verse in a little more detail. Those who hunger and thirst. Well, all of us hunger and thirst. That's our most basic biological function. Every single one of us hungers and thirsts after food, of course. Well, we know this even from childbirth, when we are babies. When we're babies, we can't do much. We can't walk. We can't talk. But, well, we can't be fed enough. We're always hungry. We're always thirsty. It's the first of the functions that we are aware of, our hunger and our thirst. The first things that we are aware of in our lives: I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I need to be fed, I need to be watered. It's our most basic function, every single one of us. And of course, as we grow older, that doesn't change. We're constantly hungry. Some of us, even when we've had large meals, well, 2 or 3 hours afterwards, we're hungry again. If we go without breakfast, we're constantly saying we're starving. That hunger, that thirst, it never leaves us. Throughout our whole lives, we will always be subject to hunger and thirst in various ways. And these things are very obvious to us. And so the obvious thing that we can draw from this verse, right from the very outset, is that when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness," he's expressing this great need that we all have. Every single one of us has this need. Just as every single one of us has hunger and thirst for bread, for water, well, each and every one of us has a need for righteousness. That's what it is meant to convey to us. This righteousness that he is speaking of, every single one of us has a need for this. If we are human beings, if we are alive, and I trust we all are this morning, we need that righteousness. Nobody can say, "Oh, this righteousness that God offers, I don't need it. I don't need it. I can just push it to one side." You can't do that. Would any one of us say, I know from this day forward, I don't need to eat and drink for the rest of my life"? No, we would never say that. We know we need to eat and drink. And so it's the same with this righteousness. You can't dismiss it. We need it. And we need to understand that. We need the righteousness of God. And one thing we need to add to that is, well, this righteousness, we ought to desire it above anything else in our lives. When you hunger and thirst after something, when you have a great hunger, a great thirst, well, you need it more than anything else. "Give me something to eat now. I must have it above anything else." That is what is being communicated here. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see the righteousness of God, that which is being offered in the gospel. I must have that above everything else. I hunger and thirst after that. I remember reading about a battle that took place in the Second World War. Many of you know the history. The Second World War from 1939 to 1945. And I'm sure many of you know that there were many battles took place across the world, not just in one place. And one place where they had a battle, or many, a series of battles, great battles, was in Egypt and the Mediterranean. And there was one particular battle that took place over the city of Alexandria in Egypt. And it was a fierce battle. And both armies, well, they were on the brink of exhaustion, a battle that took hours, as so many of them did, in the glaring heat of the sun. And well, the Allied forces, the British forces, well, they were almost spent. They thought that they were on the verge of defeat. And when they were just about to give up, well, an amazing thing happened. They saw hundreds of Germans approaching them, not with their guns, not aggressively. They were surrendering. They were surrendering. What were they doing? The British forces didn't know what was going on. And they were surrendering in a very weird way. They were clutching at their throats. Their eyes were almost bulging out in desperation. Their tongues were protruding from their mouths. What was going on? What had caused them to surrender in such a dramatic way? Well, do you know what? It was extreme thirst. Extreme thirst. That was what caused them to surrender. They had been fighting for 36 hours. In the heat of the Egyptian sun, in the heat of the battle, their thirst had got the better of them. And they thought to themselves, "We need to surrender. Forget the victory. Forget the war. Forget our freedom. We need to yield to our enemies, as it were, to the British. in order to have our thirsts quenched. That was what was going on. And you know, that's exactly how we come to Christ. Somebody who's seeking the Lord needs to have their hunger and their thirst quenched above everything else. Oh, I see what the Lord God has to offer, and I'm going to give up my freedom. I'm going to give up my career. I need this more than anything else. I'm going to yield to God. I'm going to surrender to Him, as it were. I'm going to give Him my life and receive that righteousness that I need, so desperately need. That is how we approach God. That is how we seek Him. We see our great need, and we are so thirsty. We need it above everything else. But these words, well, they're so tremendous. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But what is righteousness? Well, I haven't really explained it. Righteousness, it's a long word, isn't it? And it's not a word that is very familiar nowadays. Not many people speak about righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, there are many words and ways I could use to describe it, but one way that I found that is perhaps quite helpful, righteousness is the way that we ought to be. The way that we ought to be. Let's consider it in that way. Well, we look at the world around us, and I know I say this so many times, but we look at the world around us, and we look at all the tumult and the unrest and the chaos and the political instability, particularly in this world. We think about the violence and about the war, and or wars rather, I should say, and we watch the news and we hear about terrible things happening, even amongst people who should be close to one another, even in families. People doing the most horrible things to one another. And we think to ourselves, this is not the way it ought to be. This world is not the way it ought to be. And we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Some days we just wish, oh, I wish everybody could just get along. I wish I could just switch on the news and there'd be nothing but good news. Don't we hunger and thirst after that? But we live in this terrible world. In this sinful world, in this world full of chaos and grief. And well, this is not how it ought to be. So righteousness, how it ought to be, but we live in a world, well, where things, well, we know this. I don't need to preach to you for very long about this. This world is not how it ought to be. And we read from 2 Peter chapter 3. And the teaching of the Bible, not just in that passage, but elsewhere, a great promise of the Bible is that one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, and it will come. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. So many people say, when will this new heaven, this new earth come? When will Christ come again? Every day is just like any other day. Oh, I don't believe in all that nonsense. But the day of the Lord will come. Remember, that was written. That was very clear. The day of the Lord will come, and there will be a new earth, a new heaven, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Everything will be right there. No sin, no death, no grief, no mourning. Everything will be as it ought to be. Isn't that a great comfort? A great promise to us. Now, I remember trying to communicate this to an unbeliever who was a friend of mine, and he liked the idea of this new earth, this place wherein dwelleth righteousness. He liked the idea of that, and he said, oh yes, I can't wait for that time. I'll definitely be there. And he was getting quite excited about it. He didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, oh yes, I'll be there. I'm looking forward to that time. I don't like this world. I can see it's chaotic. I can't wait for that time. But you see, what he was missing out, and what we all need to understand, is that the scriptures say that none of us deserve to live in that place. None of us actually deserve to live in that place of perfect righteousness. The promise is given, but none of us in and of ourselves actually deserve to be there. This friend, he was saying, oh yes, I'll be there, I can't wait. But is he going to be there? Really? None of us deserve to be there. Why is that? Why do none of us deserve in and of ourselves to be in that place? Well, because none of us are what we ought to be. None of us as individuals. You know, it's all very well looking at the world and saying, oh, what a terrible place this world is. Watching the news and saying, oh, this is so bad. But do we ever look at ourselves? Do we look at ourselves and think of our own unrighteousness? Are we everything that we ought to be, really? When you look back at your lives, not one fault, not one failing, not one moment of regret or shame. Have you always behaved as you ought to have behaved in every situation? Perhaps there were times in your life when you ought to have been kind, but you weren't kind. You were unkind. Perhaps there were times when you ought to have been generous. You saw somebody in need. You really ought to give that person some help. You didn't bother. Oh no, somebody else will just help them. Are you not what you ought to be? You're not at all. So if the world isn't what it ought to be, you most certainly are not. Oh, we're so good at looking at everybody else, but the scriptures teach us to look at ourselves. And you see, this is the great problem. As I have just mentioned, in order to be in that new heaven and that new earth, you need to be righteous. You need to be perfect. And that's why none of us, in and of ourselves, deserve to be there. So where are we going to get this righteousness from? Where can we get it? Well, we get it from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we get that righteousness from. Now, we often talk, and this is right and good, it's vital. We often talk about the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross to take upon himself the punishment for our sin in our place as our substitute. And oh yes, of course he did. But perhaps sometimes we don't mention enough his perfect life on earth of righteousness, his perfect sinless life. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he was everything that he ought to be. He was always loving, always kind, always sincere, never lied, never dishonest. He was perfect man from cradle to the grave. A life of perfect righteousness, no sin at all. Now, why did he live that life? He lived that life for us, we who are unrighteous. We who cannot possibly live up to that standard. He lived it for us, to give it to us, to clothe us with his righteousness so that we may go to heaven, so that we may live in that new earth and that new heaven wherein dwelleth righteousness. We can't enter in without that. Everybody who has faith in Christ, they are clothed in the righteousness that he has lived for us. So when we stand before God, and we all have to stand before God at the end of our lives, not one of us can escape that, whether we're believers or unbelievers. We will all have to stand before God. God will look upon those who have faith and see us clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ, that he has lived for us, not our lives, with our sins and our failings and our moments of regret. No, we have faith in Christ. When we come to Christ, we say, Lord, I need that righteousness. I cannot get to heaven by myself. Clothe me in the righteousness of Christ, and I shall be clean. And you'll appear before God, clothed in perfect, glorious righteousness. And then you will be permitted to live in that new heaven and new earth. That's the only way, the righteousness of Christ. So how much we need that righteousness. How much you ought to hunger and thirst after that righteousness. If you don't, well then, there will be eternal loss for you. But we will speak about that at the very end. But hunger and thirst for Christ. Let us just read verse 6 again. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled with righteousness, faultless to stand before the throne of God. But even in this life, we must make this point. When you come to Christ as a believer, as a Christian, well, you hunger and thirst even from the very start. When you are converted, you hunger and thirst after a righteous life. Those sins that you used to commit in the past and that you loved so much in the past and you never wanted to give up, you dismiss them, you put them to one side. We're not perfect in this life. We stumble and fall, but we hunger and thirst. We so desire to live lives pleasing to God. We repent of all our wrongdoing. And we hunger and thirst after good things, after pure things, after holy things, because we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we hunger and thirst for that new heaven to come quickly. We desire that more than anything else. We don't have any appetite for the things of this world anymore. No appetite at all for the things that this world has to offer. We constantly pray and desire that the Lord Jesus Christ comes quickly. Well, dear friends, does that describe you? If you are a professing Christian, does that describe you? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Or do you say you're a Christian and you trust in your own goodness? I'm a Christian and I'm a good person because I go to church and because I do nice things and I sing the hymns very loudly. This is my righteousness. No, that's not the righteousness that's going to get you to heaven. You need to trust in Christ and his righteousness. It's through him alone. Is that your faith? Does that describe you? Oh, you have to trust in him and seek after him. Those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, well, let me put it to you this way. Those who have hunger and thirst after food, those who hunger and thirst, well, if they are not given the food that they need, if they are not given that water that shall quench their thirst, well, what will happen to them? They, of course, will die. Somebody who goes without that which they need to satisfy their hunger and to quench their thirst, if they go without that, they will die. Well, it's the same with this. If you go without the righteousness of God, eventually you will die. Your body will die, of course, but your soul will die. That is what the scriptures say. The soul will be utterly, eternally forsaken of God. That is what death is. Death is being eternally forsaken of God. And that is what happens if we do not hunger and thirst after righteousness. That which truly fills us. That which we need to enter into eternal glory. But dear friends, the invitation is here. The pleading is here. Can you not hear in these words the Lord Jesus Christ pleading? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is a promise to save you. Blessed are they. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will fill you. Why remain in this world? With all its petty attractions, with all its trivial promises, all its broken promises. The world gives so many boasts and promises. It never fulfills them. It never fills you up. Come to Christ. He will fill you with that peace and that forgiveness and blessing. He will grant you that righteousness, clothe you with it. He will grant you that assurance, that certainty, that you have heaven ahead of you. He is the rock upon which we stand, that rock of righteousness. This is the promise. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, oh, dear Lord, how we do pray that thou wouldst bless and help each and every one of us to hunger and thirst after God, to hunger and thirst after that peace and righteousness that we need for eternal life. Oh, Lord, we are so lost without it. We are heading for a place that is so much worse than this world without it, a place where we will forever hunger and thirst. Oh, Lord, bless us, we pray, and help us. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.